Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome into the Out of the Box podcast. Mayhem is here. And because of that, this is a shortened show. Gray Robertson, Tom Canterbury. Hi, Tom.
So much is happening all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Go.
Literally.
Yes.
I just, as we sat down, folded my laundry to pack to leave tomorrow.
Correct.
Today, as you're all listening, perhaps.
Yes, right.
Maybe yesterday. Who's to say?
Right. I need to do that myself.
Yeah. Lot to do before we get the SC tournament.
I don't live here. So I have to go home and do that.
So we're, again, bang, bang, bang. Tom's got... One of your children is graduating high school?
Yes, Chloe's graduating high school on Friday. So should Alabama make it to the semifinals, you'll have that one on your own. Hopefully that is something we have to worry about.
So we're going to do it right now. If you want to be the analyst for the SEC softball tournament semifinals, tweet us at @outofthebox_pod. We'll enter your name in a rally.
Yes.
We'll see what happens. I bet Kaylee Tao wins, but who knows? Any of you could be up for it.
All these slips of paper seem to say Kaylee Tao.
K-Tao. Wow.
Right.
Who could that be?
That'd be fun.
Yeah. We've got a lot to cover in a short amount of time. So, three-pronged episode. We're starting at the plate. We'll talk about the trip to South Carolina.
Do we have to?
We do.
Okay.
We were there
sure.
For a long time.
Yeah, watching not softball.
Then we'll look at some of the big stories in the SEC as well. Kind of the four big ones from the weekend. Then we will be in the gap. Yes, we have doubled.
Ooh.
We found the gap.
Nice.
Bracketology. Now, as we record, it is the middle of Sunday, and there are very important bracket-oriented games happening right now. So the sheet that I have here, Tom.
Yes.
It might change.
Subject to change.
In that segment.
Okay.
We'll see. We have time.
Hopefully these couple games will be wrapping up by the time we get to the double in the gap.
I think so. After that, we will head home. It's very easy. Just to second and then home.
Okay.
We will give you the results of picks.
Mm.
And then we will make our SEC tournament picks and off the wall and Tom's hungry.
Certainly off the wall, back at it.
Man, some of y'all need to shut the hell up. Okay. We begin at the plate. Remember, like, share, subscribe, leave reviews. Let us know what's up. Fill us in on your lives. Give us 5 stars. Now we talk about Columbia. Alabama drops 2 of 3, twice on Saturday, once in a resumption game, which is the first time we've ever done that together.
Right.
The other in a game that was called. So Alabama actually played 10 innings on Saturday. It was all very weird.
It was quite odd.
Yeah, we'll go with our usual style. Good, mad, bad. Let's start with the good. Marley Giles.
Oh, my gosh.
Marley. What's up, girl?
Here are you.
.875 batting average on the weekend. 7 for 8, 4 RBIs, a homer, and a double, 4 runs scored. She was superb.
Absolutely. And we should mention, as frustrating as Friday into Saturday was, Thursday was great.
Thursday was awesome.
A 13-1 run rule over a top 10 team at their place. We'll take that any day.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, individually, Marley Giles, what a weekend. Just great to see her kind of round into the form that we were kind of thinking she had the capability of coming into. It just adds a whole new weapon to this lineup. Obviously, she's probably not going to go 7 for 8 every weekend from here on out.
Would be wild.
Would be awesome if she wants to.
Down.
But, just to be another reliable bat in this lineup could be very, very big.
Consistent Cali hit 500, OBP at 600, drove in a couple runs. There we go.
Yeah. And really, out one of the tough parts for Alabama was the defense of South Carolina
Yeah.
was just outstanding all weekend.
Outside of game one.
Right. One was weird for them. Game 2 and 3, they kind of got back to what we thought they were going to be able to do. And
Yeah.
Cali batted 500 and probably had 2 or 3 base hits taken away from her.
Two in game three alone
Right.
by Brooke Blankenship,
Yeah.
FGCL. Ceylon Hawkins hit 500, drove in a run, 556 OBP, scored 4 times. Still kind of holding strong, even with the move up in the order.
Yeah, and we had mentioned about Ceylon Hawkins that she had been basically between 295 and 300 with the batting average for most of the year. Had just been steady right there, which was great to see. She's now got that overall batting average around 320,
Yeah.
which kind of shows what she's been able to do the last few weeks. Moving up in the order, still coming through big time.
I also want to throw a little good on Caitlin Riley. I know she took a loss, but she threw a one-hit complete game on the road. The one hit was not great. It's
Right.
a three-run homer. But all in all, Caitlin Riley threw really well in a very odd game. Again, having to kind of sleep on it and then come back and pitch the way she did, I thought Caitlin Riley deserved to be in the good with how well she pitched.
Especially considering the strike zone that she faced was not conducive to her having success,
Yes.
which I know we'll get into.
Oh, I'm sure
But
we will.
yeah, great performance from Caitlin Riley. More often than not, even if you give up one hit and a 3-run homer, this Alabama offense is going to be able to pick you up a little bit more than they did in game two. But no problems at all with what Caitlin Riley did this past weekend.
Any other good?
Well, I'm going to again shout out the Alabama defense.
Okay.
I thought the defense was outstanding. And, there was an error on the last play of the game before the weather came through, which I'm not 100% sure should count because I don't think anything in the bottom of the fifth counts. So they'll have to.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
Right.
should revert back.
So it could
So,
revert back. So, but even one way or the other, yeah, defense, pitching and defense really did, outside of one inning, really did what you needed them to do this weekend.
yeah. To the meh, the Vandergrift Lauren Johnson 1-2 was very meh. A combined 4 for 17 with 5 RBIs. Both of them were at an OBP at least at 300, but. Like that's all good stuff if you're like 5, 6, 7 in the order. It's meh when you're in the top two, especially considering the production you were getting from Callie Heavlin right behind and some of the other Marley Giles after she was in the 4 or 5 area after she moved up. She should have probably had more RBIs if Lojo and Vandegrift were getting on like they normally do.
Yeah, a lot of those numbers also coming from that game one
Yeah.
in the series. I think Lauren Johnson had a double in game three, and I think that was about it. Vandegrift had a double in game three as well. But they have to be on base more for this offense to work.
Yeah.
They just do. They know that. I'm not breaking any news. I think you tip your cap again to the defense of South Carolina and the pitching of South Carolina. But yeah, you got to find a way to get on.
Jocelyn Brisky in the meh.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I thought she pitched well, and yet the line looks horrible because of stuff that happened.
Right.
So that kind of perfectly fits in the meh for me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the numbers are what the numbers are. The results are what the results are. Yeah. Brisky pitched better than that.
Yeah. It's kind of all I got for the meh.
Unfortunately, too much in the bad coming up.
Yeah. Well, where would you like to start? Because there are a couple things I would circle. This was a really bad weekend for Brooke Ellestad. Just 0 for 8 with like nothing. Nothing. OBP is 0. Just got to have more, especially when you're where you are in the order. The DP situation is still very much in flux. And, the other three pitchers. We're all kind of fine, but they weren't necessarily as clean as you need to. And Coach Murphy always talks about how, when a reliever comes in, their job is to keep the score where it is, and there's just not enough of that in some of these high pressure games.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Ailey Johnson and her appearance in game three, when she came in, She didn't have any runs attributed to her, but she did allow inherited runs to score. Bree Hodges looked really good first time through the order when she came in. It was as they started through the second time when she issued a couple walks, and that was where that happened. A lot of okay, but not really where you needed it to be.
Yeah. What else in the bad?
Umpiring.
Okay, here we go. Gotta
Yeah.
lean back.
And I don't want this to come off as I'm blaming the umpires for Alabama losing, because I'm not.
Okay.
But I want a fair game called. And even saying that, I don't think it was necessarily pro South Carolina. It was just bad. Usually my normal commentary on umpires, it was just bad all the way around. But I don't understand what happened in the second inning of game three
It was quite
with the
baffling.
strike zone.
Like it out of nowhere.
Bobby DeMeo, what are you doing? I'm calling you out by name because it was god awful. I mean, just out of nowhere, the strike zone shrunk to where it was impossible for Jocelyn Brisky to throw a strike. I have not seen anywhere where people were like, no, it wasn't that bad. Everyone was in agreement that it got terrible.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, for no reason.
For like 7 minutes.
And it totally changed the game. South Carolina won the game anyway. I don't know. But they totally were just handed runs in a game that looked like it was going to be a pitcher's duel.
Yeah.
Just here, I refuse to call a strike. Because there were eight straight balls thrown to the 7 and 8 hole hitters after Jocelyn Brisky got the first two outs of the inning. Then Brooke Blankenship had a really good at bat and drew a walk. I have no problem with that at bat. That walk happened. The next two, four pitch walks, and at least half the pitches should have been strikes. Objectively terrible. So then you make it where she has to throw it absolutely right down the middle for any chance of a strike to be called. And even the 9 hole hitter who's batting under 200 is gonna in the SEC is gonna be able to get the hit in that situation. And it totally changed the game. And it's just not fair. Jocelyn Brisky deserves better. This Alabama players, South Carolina players, everyone deserves better than the officiating they're getting on the whole, but especially in game three. Game two, strike zone, if it was below the belt, it wasn't a strike. That's not right.
I agree. But at least that was consistent.
It was
And we
consistent.
knew. We saw it early
Right.
and we knew, you know?
It was consistently bad, though. If you're wrong
No.
and consistent, I'm not okay with that.
No,
It's just you're just wrong.
I agree. But I'm just saying, like, at least
Right.
everyone playing could
Sure.
adjust to it
You're
and could
right.
figure it out. You could disagree with it, but
Right.
still figure out, okay, now how do we game plan with the way it is right now? What happened in game three was just like a total 180
Yeah.
for a 10-minute span, and then
Then it kind of went back, although it didn't
There
like.
were a couple that
Yeah.
were all the way around. There were a couple times where Alabama hitters were up and pitches were thrown, and we looked at each other and we're like,
Yeah. Right. That's why I'm saying it wasn't like anti-Alabama the entire time, but when it happened, it hurt Alabama really badly. Totally changed the game. Now, as part of the bad in this situation, I will say Alabama needs to do a better job of handling it when it gets bad.
That has been a consistent issue really for the last 2 years.
Right. I often talk about the need and want for a regular ass softball game. One of the reasons I really like it when it's a regular ass softball game is because that's when Alabama plays the best. When it gets weird, it tends to affect Alabama more than the opponent. And that's just from what I've seen, like you said, the last couple of years, it's kind of been the case. So Alabama needs to do a better job of adapting and, adjusting, dealing with it when it's a weird situation, whether it be a weather situation, an umpire situation, crazy things happening. Because, softball is a weird sport. It gets crazy. It gets weird. And Alabama has to do a better job of handling that.
I agree with all that.
That's my rant. Get better. Umpires, be better. I want to know what are the evaluations that are saying you're doing a good job?
I don't think they exist.
That is an issue.
Is I
That is a
agree.
problem. I tweeted here today. There's a Twitter account that I follow called Umpire Scorecard, and it literally every Major League Baseball game, it tracks how many true strikes were called balls, how many true balls were called strikes in every Major League Baseball game. And it kind of shows if it affected one team more than the other, how it affected that game. We have the technology to do that for major college softball. And there's nothing like that. And there needs to be. There's no accountability. They'll say that there is, but there's obviously not, because we see it every year. And it's gotten worse this season instead of getting better.
The zones have been a story
Right.
all weekend, all season, no matter where you are.
Not just for
It
Alabama,
could be
everywhere.
like we've seen it. We've seen ridiculous amounts of walks. The pitchers are too good for the
Right.
amount of walks we've seen across the country.
Why is it so hard to call a strike?
I don't know.
Why?
And the hitters are too good too that
Right.
if they figure out it's a tight zone, they're sitting
Yeah.
and taking.
That's another thing for Alabama in particular. I think you mentioned that on the ride home. We were talking about it, that if it's going to be that really minuscule zone, Alabama needs more be more patient and draw the walk.
Yeah.
They're aggressive, they want to hit, and that sometimes it's coming back to haunt them.
They're second to last in the SEC in walks. Shout
Right.
out to the fan a couple weeks ago who was like, "Can't believe Patrick Murphy said they should walk more." I think everybody should walk more. I think if
That
you're
if they're
getting
right.
balls, then take them.
Right. But it's terrible for the game that the umpiring's not better than it is.
Yeah. I wonder who we'll see at the SEC tournament.
Probably the same people, which is part of the issue.
Well, we know one of them isn't going to be there. Unfortunately, he was good.
Right. We don't want the good ones to come around.
No, let's run them off to the mid-majors.
On this pod last week, Chris Plank from Oklahoma, when he's able to start naming umpires by name within a year of being in this league, that's not good.
It's an issue.
Yeah. If you're an umpire, we should not know your name.
Yeah.
If we know your name, it's usually a bad thing.
I agree.
It's not all of you, but it is most of you.
So we eagerly
Be
anticipate the
better.
lineup
Oh my
for
gosh.
Alabama Auburn on Tuesday at the SEC tournament. Who will it be at the bottom of the sheet?
It should, and that's, we joke about it, but that's sad. We should be worried about who's pitching and what the lineup looks like. We shouldn't be worrying about who the home plate umpire is.
I hope I'm not worrying about it once they
Right.
see the sheet. I've got some names I want it to be. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Call a strike and be competent in your job.
Do you have any thoughts on the Alabama-Auburn matchup? I know we'll pick the SEC tournament in a minute, but it's a little rivalry.
Little bit.
A little bit.
Glad it worked out to Alabama getting a chance to play Auburn.
Me too.
In a year where you didn't play them in a regular season series, weren't able to work it out to play a non-conference midweek. So, you get the matchup in the SEC tournament. But I'll let you talk about how it helps Alabama bracketologically wise.
Oh,
Yeah, about that.
add that to the dictionary.
Indeed.
So I'll throw this in there real quick and we'll cover it a little bit later on when we're in the gap. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to play Tuesday the SEC tournament, you better play the one team that can help you. And strangely enough, yes, indeed, the last place team in the SEC metrically provides the most help for the Crimson Tide. They're actually ahead of Alabama in RPI right now, as it stands. So this would be a helpful win for the
Right.
Crimson Tide. Playing Missouri, all love to the Tigers and Coach Anderson would do nothing for you.
Yeah.
Georgia, no, you need Georgia to play somebody else because you got to get Georgia to win some games to get back into the RPI top 25. You beating them would do nothing to help you.
Yeah.
So playing Auburn provides that chance to get another top 25 win, to get it at a neutral site away from home. It's a win-win for Alabama as long as you win the game.
Correct. But it would have been really bad to have played Missouri, not just because they wouldn't help you anything metrically. They're as desperate as anybody in this tournament because they have to win the whole thing
Yeah.
to make the NCAA tournament. And do I think they're going to be able to go on a 5-game run to do that?
It
No.
would be hard.
It would be very difficult, but they have the talent to win a couple.
Yeah.
We'll go over our picks later on, but that would not be the team I would want to play if you're forced to play on Tuesday. So I'm glad it worked out to play Auburn, but Alabama's gonna have to play well to advance.
We will pick the SEC tournament later.
Okay.
Four quads in the SEC. We're gonna, I don't know, I was trying to think of four something. Four quads is the best I could do.
Sure.
So we start with the SEC champs who lost the
Of
series this
course they did.
weekend.
Right. Yes.
This conference is so crazy. Oklahoma has won the SEC and they lost two of three at Florida. Great games. Florida played very well. OU played pretty well, but the Gators win a high profile, highly played marquee matchup.
Yeah, I was impressed really by both these teams. And but it just kind of shows you how deep this league is. You know, Florida ends up as the sixth seed in the SEC tournament.
It's crazy. It was my
Yeah.
pick to come in second, your pick to win the league.
Right. Finished sixth and, you know, very easily could have won it.
Yeah.
And, you know, played really well, knocked off Oklahoma, and did a good job, I thought, in the final game on Saturday. Not letting Oklahoma them, because they were right there. Oklahoma was in that
Oh,
spot.
yeah.
That seventh inning, man. They were like, let's
Got a little dicey.
well, it got sticky. But the Gators are able to hold on, so I think that gives them a lot of momentum heading into the postseason.
Next up, why did OU win the conference? Because Tennessee beat A&M in a series that A&M won. But because A&M didn't sweep, this is all so dumb, but I love it. A&M takes two of three in Knoxville. Quite the statement by the Aggies. Carlin Pickens nowhere to be found in game three.
Right. If Carlin Pickens pitches in game three, I don't think Texas A&M wins by a run rule. But
Probably not.
it's certainly not a guarantee Tennessee would have won. That being said, I kind of understand, you know, with everything kind of being locked in at that point, Karen Weekly holding off Carlin and giving her a little bit of
I mean,
rest.
was it though? Like top four, yeah. So they could have been the two seed.
Yeah.
And that would be, well, that would be in the Alabama path. So,
Yeah. I like the decision.
you know what? Good call, Karen. There we go.
Because as happy as I am that Alabama's playing Auburn, I'm okay with going a year without playing Tennessee. I'm good with it.
We'll see Carlin next year,
Yeah,
I think.
it's all good.
Number three, quadrant three, if you will.
Yes.
Mississippi State. Two of three against Ole Miss. Good pitching from Raelynn Chafin in game one. Delanie Everett was great in game two. Ole Miss kind of woke up in game three, but Mississippi State, I still think they're outside the hosting conversation, but this is a remarkable finish for the Bulldogs. Eighth in the conference, they finished 13 and 11 in the SEC. This is a year after getting to 500 in the conference for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
So, again, steadily building under Samantha Ricketts and also. Had a couple players drafted in the AUSL draft as well, Sierra Sacco and Chafin. So good season, and now we see what they can do in the postseason.
Yeah, State definitely kind of they have established themselves now where next year when we're doing the SEC Media Days and predictions and things like that, people will be talking about Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and clip that.
Quad four, LSU Arkansas. Now, why did I put this in quad four? Why, Tom?
Why?
Because all the games were stupid.
They were weird.
They were really stupid. Let's go over just real quick, just for fun. I want to tell you the scores. Arkansas wins game one, 12-9, but there was like a lineup issue. LSU forgot to re-enter a player.
Oh.
Forgot to re-enter Macy Bergeron. She was Bergeron off the sheet, and Arkansas wins. That totally kills the momentum for LSU.
That a coach's sprint.
Yeah, it was videos wild.
Yeah.
Then LSU demolishes Arkansas 13-2, and then Arkansas shuts out LSU in game three to win the series.
Makes no sense.
Should I play the sirens? Do we need to do a weather update?
And I don't think conditions are
Okay.
totally favorable for a secondary swoon.
So you mean this is the time to drive home, is what I'm hearing,
Yeah.
because conditions are not favorable for alarms.
Right, get on through.
Okay.
Yeah, so going on the road at Arkansas and not winning a series, but the one game you won by a run rule. I think you're all right.
Yeah. And shout out to Texas and Missouri. They won their series as well. But again, we're trying to move this along.
Yes.
It's a shorter pod. I actually mean that this time. This isn't one of those, this is a shorter episode and it's 2 hours,
Right.
which is technically shorter.
Technically, yes.
So now I just ask, who are we? Remember, we're hitting it to the gap. So
Correct.
we need a little power. You know, it can be anybody.
I'm good with Marley Giles.
Okay, we're Marley Giles.
She was eight, 7 for 8.
It's pretty good. I don't go 7 for 8 in much.
Anything.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
No.
So we're Marley getting something elevated, taking it right over the left fielder's head, heading to second base. When we come back, the bracketology packet is here. But is it? Because we're still tracking a couple games that are going, including one that got really dicey out in Oregon. Oh man, what a time. That's next here on the Out of the Box podcast.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to the Out of the Box podcast. We're in the gap.
Oh,
Grant and Tom here in the studio.
We're rarely there.
No, well, I'm always a single guy. It's like a home run or it's a single. That's it.
Like it.
Don't ask me to leg anything out ever. Bracketology. What a time to be alive.
Wow. Yes.
As we record, moments ago, Emblemley shut down Florida State. Virginia Tech wins game 3 against the Noles 8-6. And Oregon escaped disaster against Michigan State 7-6. Also, this is why insurance runs are critical.
Yeah.
Oregon scored one little tiny little extra run in the bottom of the sixth and then turned out to be the game winning run. So how does that impact the bracket packet? Let's find out.
Yeah, because Michigan State beating Oregon in game one of that series was very detrimental.
Oh.
If they were to have lost the series, if they lost two to the Spartans, just that would have been an absolute killer.
They might have been out of the packet.
Wow.
Barring a Big Ten tournament win.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Man.
All right.
Here we go. Is Alabama in the tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
Up to the minute, number one, Texas A&M. Number two, Florida. Number three, Oklahoma. Number four, Arkansas. Number five, Texas. Number six, Florida State. Number seven, Tennessee. Number eight, LSU. Number nine, UCLA. Number 10, South Carolina. 11, Arizona. 12, Clemson. 13, Alabama. 14, Duke. 15, Texas Tech. And hanging on for dear life, 16, Oregon. Next up, first team out, Virginia Tech with that win against Florida State. Having a 17, 18, Stanford, 19, Oklahoma State, 20, Auburn. If I had to put a 21, I would say Mississippi State. The tiers. All these teams, I believe you're hosting a super, and if you don't, that's kind of on you. Texas A&M, Florida, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Florida State, Tennessee. I think that's super safe. If any of those teams are out, I would be very curious to hear why. From the committee, Supers bubble, UCLA, LSU, South Carolina. Regional safe, Arizona, Clemson, Alabama. I think you're good. Again.
Even if Alabama were to lose on Tuesday.
Even if Alabama were to lose on Tuesday, I would love to hear the explanation as to why they would not be hosting a regional. Alabama, Clemson, or Arizona, any of them.
Okay.
But I also don't think there's enough time to make up the ground to host a super. Regionals bubble. Duke, Texas Tech, Oregon, Stanford, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, Auburn, Mississippi State. Your supers matchups would be, last thing, and then we get to questions. 116, Texas A&M, Oregon. Would be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
215, Florida, Texas Tech. 314, Oklahoma, Duke. 413, Arkansas, Alabama.
Okay.
512, Texas, Clemson. 611, Florida State, Arizona. 7-10, Tennessee, South Carolina. 8-9, UCLA at LSU. All right, questions, please. Yes, you, Mr. Canterbury.
Yes. Okay, so Alabama at number 13. You said there's probably not enough time to make it up. What if they were to make the run and win the SEC tournament?
Probably get you to like 9. I just...
Because just looking at the bracket.
Sure.
If they were to do that run... That means that they would have not only beat Auburn, they would have beaten South Carolina, evening up the series at 2-2 on the year.
And notching presumably another top 10 win.
Then it would be Texas A&M, which is the number one team, and would be evening up that series at two games apiece. And then in either Florida or Texas in the semis, in all likelihood. And then, Oklahoma, Tennessee, or Arkansas, or somebody, probably another top 10 team in the championship. So that would be four straight top 10 victories to win the SEC championship. Still not enough.
I don't think so. I think it'd be just too much ground. Because it would also, yes, the top 10 wins are great. It would also just be four top 25 wins, and that would get you, unless Georgia goes back in, to 13. Unless everybody else like lost, but then you lose the potential wins down the road. So
Right.
it's I just think it's too much ground, especially with the RPI being 18 right
Yeah.
now. I just don't know if I can see that climb possibly.
So this, but it would be good if.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's 0% that Alabama can host a Super, but it's definitely less than 10%.
Yeah. It would also be helpful, just overall for Alabama if at home Georgia maybe won a couple games.
Yes. Everyone, you're barking this week. Bark at children, bark at adults,
Sure.
bark at dogs. Georgia winning games in the SEC tournament is a great thing for Alabama. So you are pulling for Georgia to beat Kentucky and probably Arkansas as well. Go dogs, sic 'em, woo 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 woo, or
Okay,
whatever.
right.
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Get him in top 25.
Right. So UCLA falls to 9 out of the Super's hosting spot as of right now because they lost the series to Northwestern at home.
Yes, today.
Yeah. How, like, first of all, that's a pretty, Northwestern's not terrible. They're pretty good, but certainly not a team UCLA should be losing at home to.
Yeah, and LSU's metrics are better. Better SOS, better non-con SOS, barely, but still better. More top 10 wins, more top 25 wins. UCLA does have more top 50. As it stands right now, LSU has a better, worse loss. I think Northwestern will probably move up. Because they just beat UCLA, but LSU's got a wider variety of wins. Their average RPI of wins is significantly better than UCLA's. I just see an overall stronger profile for LSU. And that was coming into today, but I still was kind of like, are they going to put seven SEC teams in the top eight? I don't know. And then UCLA lost. Now, UCLA wins the Big Ten tournament,
Probably.
probably back
Yeah.
up. But as it stands right now, LSU 8, UCLA 9.
Okay. Let me give you, as I often do,
Oh.
so I come from the Oklahoma fans' perspective
Of
here.
course, you always have.
Sure. But Gray, you have Oklahoma at 3 with Texas A&M at 1 and Florida at 2. But Gray, we won the SEC in our first year. We were told the SEC was the best. We did all we can do. We won the SEC. Why are there two SEC teams ahead of us? Why do you hate us, Gray?
Tom, say your first sentence again.
We won the SEC.
Committee doesn't give a damn. Boom, next. If you win the SEC tournament, the committee will care. Regular season? No. They care about the individual games. They don't care about the standings. They don't care about the conference championship.
Why do we play the season then?
Hey, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you how it is. It is what it is. Be that as it may,
All
et
right.
cetera, et cetera.
Boomer Sooner horns down, because that's what they say.
The non-con SOS
Play somebody.
remains an issue.
Yeah.
And I actually think OU and Florida's profiles are pretty similar. I didn't even care about head-to-head. I put Florida ahead of Oklahoma because of the non-con SOS difference. That was why I was able to deal with that. Because again, head-to-head will come in when it's identical, but I don't think the profiles are identical right now between A&M, Florida, and OU because there's such a big red thing right there for the Sooners, and it's that non-con SOS. It's a problem. They could be lower than three. I couldn't make that move. I didn't feel comfortable with it. But if the committee wanted to send a message, which again, we don't think they should do,
Right.
but if they decided to, OU could be lower than three.
How mushy is like 13 through 20?
Well, let's first off cut out 19 and 20. Look, I have Oklahoma State and Auburn on here as courtesies going into the SEC tournament and Big 12 tournament, but it's 18 teams for 16 spots. Now, I think the reason Alabama is so secure is because of the amount of top 25 and top 50 wins they've accrued. Shout out to Iowa getting back into the top 50. We love to see it. Duke, Texas Tech, Oregon, Stanford, Virginia Tech, you can rationalize any of them depending on what you're looking at. Quality wins. I guess it's Texas Tech and Duke. Do you like the fact that they haven't taken any bad losses? Stanford, you gotta love that profile, but also Stanford can't host. So I actually pitched the idea, what if you did a Stanford as a 16 but play it at Oregon situation to
Yeah.
because they're in different leagues now, so it's fine.
It
But
just appeased everybody.
yeah, I don't know. It's a little mushy, but I think that by Thursday we could probably know kind of who's in and who's out amongst that group.
I mean, there's so many SEC teams in here. Is there an SEC team that would benefit the most by a run through the SEC tournament and one that would be most hurt by a maybe a surprise one and done situation?
I'll mention two teams for runs. I've mentioned casually Mississippi State, kind of hanging out just outside. Their first two games would be top 10 RPI LSU and top 10 RPI Oklahoma. So you go on a little bit of a run here. We're legitimately talking about Mississippi State hosting. And that would be the one thing that would make me worry about Alabama is if, again, I don't think this house should be, but if the committee is like, oh, that's a lot of SEC teams, let's just flip these two, then you could be in for an issue, especially if Alabama were to lose early, because they would be losing on Tuesday, potentially, or Wednesday, and then Mississippi State would have all this other stuff after if they were able to beat LSU. South Carolina also. Again, I've got them kind of on the Supers bubble, but with little faith. They beat Alabama. They beat A&M. They beat Texas. They go on a run. They're hosting a Super. South Carolina would probably eclipse LSU if LSU got out quickly. So we'll see.
Okay.
Who is in danger? I wouldn't necessarily say they're in danger, but the team in super safe I feel least safe about is Tennessee. Just don't go one and done. Just don't let the committee make that choice. Tennessee's a supers team. They should host a super, but play well, win a game, and then you'll be fine. You
I
good?
feel good. Yes.
Okay. Get ready for this to change because we're doing this every day, updating bracketology every single day on the air. I don't know what time we're going to do it, but when we do scoreboard updates, probably
Sure.
I'll have a sheet. We'll update it every night. We'll be set.
Okay.
So
Sounds good.
that's why, listeners, you want Alabama to go on a run. So you can hear me talk about Oregon's strength of schedule the entire week.
And we'll also probably, because Alabama is usually the last game of the day,
But we'll know.
we'll probably have an extended pregame show to discuss a lot of things as well.
I'll be ready. This is where we bring the folders
Yes.
of the B material.
We'll have many out-of-the-box podcasts during pregame shows if necessary.
Shall we head home?
Okay.
This is a quick one. I think we've done well.
Move it along.
We've kept the pace. We're Vandegrifting it around,
There you go.
heading for home. When we come back, who won picks? We'll see. SC tournament picks off the wall. Tom's hungry. A lot going on when we come back. Welcome back. Heading home. Great Tom. Mayhem is here.
Gave it a valiant effort.
Last week's results. First off, Derby. Excellent. And my guy came in second. Journalism was almost there. But then Sovereignty just. It was those two at the very end. They pulled away from the pack, and Sovereignty just had enough gumption to cross the line. It was a great derby. We watched it in Chick-fil-A parking lot,
Yes.
as people do.
Sure. My pick, Sandman, was just the pace was a little too quick for him.
Got a top 10, though,
He
you know?
was way back, made a run late, but couldn't quite get into that top four. But one thing is for sure, though, like SID extraordinaire Nathan Sheehan is just
Banned.
he knows how to pick them. Not only did he win the WrestleMania pick swap, he won the Kentucky Derby as well.
Out of nowhere, because journalism was tracking, and then all of a sudden the Derby's like, and it's journalism and sovereignty. And we both looked at each other like, Nate, what? When did this happen?
Here he comes.
So shout out to Nate. Yes, he got his pick right. He'll win a shirt or whatever.
Yes.
Get it to him. Ugh. I mean, congratulations. So this past week, here are the results. I got three. FSU 2-1. Florida 2-1, Texas sweep. Tom got 4. Mississippi State 2-1, Texas sweep. Arkansas 2-1, Florida 2-1, which means your final score is Gray 33, Tom 29. Good effort.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
Made up a lot of ground in the last 2 weeks.
You did. You were down by 10, right?
Yes.
Cut it to 4. It's pretty good.
But not quite enough.
Well, your redemption is here. Please.
Clean slate.
Pull out the other sheet of paper you have there, Tom. It's time to pick the SEC tournament. In the olden days, we would just breeze right on through to Thursday and pick from there. But now the league is too good.
Right.
There are literal national seed contenders playing on Tuesday.
Correct.
So we're going to take this game by game, move quickly, brisk pace.
Okay.
We start with game one, the host, Georgia Bulldogs, which, by the way, real quick, very smart Tony Baldwin. Love the idea to take the opening game. Don't have to worry about delays. Don't have to worry about weather. You can get your people in there. Smart call.
Yes.
12 seed Georgia, 13 Kentucky. I will go with the 12 seed Georgia because a lot of people need that. Not just Alabama. LSU needs those wins. Carolina needs those wins. A bunch of teams need Georgia to be a 12 seed or in the top 25 of the RPI. So Georgia wins.
You know who else needs it? Georgia.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'll go Georgia as well.
Is Kentucky on the bubble? If they lose this,
What does that make their overall record?
I'll make them 29 and 26. They go into, well, they came into the day with an RPI of 33. I think they're probably fine.
I think they're on the right side of the bubble, but if there are multiple bid stealers,
Yeah, they could be a three somewhere. Kentucky, a
yeah.
three.
I think they are a three. I think there are three somewhere for sure. And if there are bid stealers, they may be sweating in Lexington.
All right, 11 Ole Miss, 14 Missouri. This is where I think the desperation helps. I'm going to go with the 14 seed MIZ to move on to Wednesday.
I'm going to go Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss has just a little bit too much offensively for Missouri. Even in a one game scenario, I'm going to go with the Rebels.
Finally, 10 seed Alabama, 15 seed Auburn. You got to be kidding me. I am picking Alabama. Come on.
Yes, Roll Tide. Crimson Tide will get it rolling here.
We will find a way to say hello to our friends Chris and Kate Malveaux. At some point, bat testing, I don't know, we'll find a way. But maybe I'll make a belt for Coach Malveaux. Who knows?
But he finished fourth.
Symbolic.
Oh, okay. All
You
right.
know? This we'll all take a picture with it.
Sure.
Come on, unity, Tom. That's
Okay,
what we're
go
going
right.
for. We're trying to bridge the
I've
gap
always said.
with opposing coaches
Right.
because we pissed off too many of them this year.
Good luck.
To Wednesday. 8 seed Mississippi State, 9 seed LSU. I'm picking 9 seed LSU. I'm sorry, Bulldogs. Now, that being said, these two teams, for some reason, I feel like they play all the time in this event. And they played some classics a couple years ago. Mississippi State beat LSU in that very, very fun
Yeah.
extra inning tournament game. But I think LSU is going to take this one. Interesting storyline, Braylon Chafin pitching against her former team. So.
Right. And I think she gets the win. I'm going to go Mississippi State.
Okay, I love it. Good stuff. Differences already. I've got 5 Arkansas, 12 Georgia. I will take the Hogs. I think Arkansas could have a little run in them. I'm taking Arkansas to move on to Thursday.
This is a bad matchup for Georgia because
Bad.
it's, yeah, the. Georgia's issues pitching. Arkansas has the Masters, including the, in all likelihood, National Player of the Year. We'll go with the Razorbacks as well.
6 seed Florida, 14 Missouri. For me, this is where the run ends and Missouri starts to plan for 2026. I will take the Florida Gators.
As will I. And it sets up what's going to just be an epic quarterfinal, unbelievably, a quarterfinal matchup between Texas and Florida.
Sign me up. Finally, Wednesday. Well, here we are again. Number 10, Alabama. Number 7, South Carolina. I'm going to take Alabama. I don't really know what South Carolina can throw at you that you haven't seen. Maybe a little more Neely Lamb. But if they start Sam Gress, I feel really good if I'm Alabama. And Alabama's got options. Brisky, Riley, whatever you want to do. Caitlin Riley was great against South Carolina. Brisky was really good against the Gamecocks too, until like a 10-minute span that led to a rant from Tom on this pod. Like, it's, I don't see a huge gap. So I'm going to take Alabama because this is also kind of a time of year for Alabama to start finding it.
I'm also gonna pick Alabama. I know, and if you're a South Carolina fan, you're gonna probably,
Homer.
gonna yell at them. But I left this weekend, like thinking Alabama was a better team than South Carolina, and I know and I understand South Carolina won the series. They deserve to win the series. I think they're two very similar teams. I meant to bring this up in the first segment, but I think Alabama and South Carolina are very, very similar. They're built very similarly offensively, pitching wise, pretty deep pitching staffs, pitchers that can come out and dominate games, but maybe not as consistently as a few of the other elite pitchers in the league do. So I think they're two very similar teams. I think the difference for South Carolina was the home field advantage, which they won't have this weekend. And I just think I think Alabama will get it done. A lot of it will have to do whoever starts the Auburn game, pitching for the Crimson Tide, needs to finish it. The complete game for that starter, so everyone is available as fresh as possible for this game against the Gamecocks.
Thursday, Oklahoma and LSU for me, Oklahoma, Mississippi State for you. Boom soon, I believe, is what they say. I will take Oklahoma to win their first ever SEC tournament game.
I am as well. Yeah. Whether it's Mississippi State or LSU, I'd pick Oklahoma in this situation.
Four seed Tennessee, five seed Arkansas for both of us. I am taking the Razorbacks. There's always one on Thursday. I think this might be it. I'm taking Arkansas to beat Tennessee. I don't love Tennessee's pitching plan as it stands right now in an SEC tournament format. I kind of worry, like, will Coach Weekly kind of overcoach a little bit here and be like, well, we'll save Carlin Pickens for OU on Friday, and then maybe one of the other arms starts and then it doesn't go well. And Arkansas's already won a series in Knoxville. I just think Arkansas wins this game. I think it's a bad matchup for Tennessee right here.
Those are all very valid points.
Thank you. I try.
I think Tennessee wins.
Okay. Well,
Because
I did my best.
I don't think Coach Weekly will do that. I think Coach Weekly will go with Carlin to start off with. And Arkansas having to have already played a game, I mean, that's where it comes back.
Three seed Texas, six seed Florida. I am taking Texas. They'll be fresh. And I
Sure.
assume. Now, the question is, will it be Rothrock if it's Missouri? Which is what I have. Because I think Florida probably feels like, hey, we could start Ava Brown
Yeah.
and beat Missouri. I think Texas is going to come in playing well. And I think it sets up a potential semi for the ages. So I'm going to take the Longhorns.
Here's the one for me. I think Florida wins.
I like it.
I'm gonna go Florida. I think I don't think they pitch Rothrock against Ole Miss. Ava Brown or Oxley, I think, can handle the Rebels in that situation. So I think Florida comes out. Texas is, I mean, they're coming off of a sweep over Kentucky.
Yeah.
I don't know if we learned a whole lot.
We learned that Mia Scott can pitch.
Yes, I think we won't see that again.
That would be
That
surprising.
would certainly be surprising. I do think in the couple weekends before, we saw a couple of chinks in the armor for the Longhorns. I think Florida is kind of peaking at the right time here too as well. I think they're on the upward swing. And I think it actually means a little bit more for Florida right now. So I'll go with the Gators.
All right. Finally, two seed Texas A&M and 10 seed Alabama. This is where I think the run comes to an end. I will take Texas A&M. I think just fresh Emily Kennedy against an Alabama team that will have just played two games late at night, potentially delayed. There is weather in the area this weekend. I think the later teams have an edge even more so than ever before in this format, this specific weekend, because it does look like Wednesday and Thursday could be a nightmare. Rain wise. So I'm going to take A&M.
And kind of like what we were just talking about, when things have gotten off schedule and gotten weird, that has affected Alabama more than other teams at this point. I'm also going to take Texas A&M, but I think the best situation for Alabama, as I mentioned, not only getting a complete game in game number one, if it is, say, Jocelyn Brisky in game number one against Auburn, Caitlin Riley gets to start in game two against South Carolina. If she can go complete and you get a relatively fresh Jocelyn Brisky here for the third game against Texas A&M, I think Alabama has a shot. We saw what Texas A&M did against Alabama in College Station. We didn't see Emily Kennedy until Sunday.
Right.
Is it possible where A&M, Tricia Ford would say, let's throw the others against Alabama,
Save Kennedy for Texas
save Kennedy for
or
Texas or
Florida.
Florida, and the Tide might be able to take advantage of it. They did not take advantage of it as much as I thought they would have in College Station. So we'll see. But I'm going to pick A&M as well, but it's certainly possible for the Crimson Tide if they're in this situation to get the win.
Absolutely. All right, to the semis. I've got Oklahoma, Arkansas. You've got OU, Tennessee. OU swept Arkansas in Fayetteville. Took them out three times.
Which, as you know, as we look back on it, one of the more impressive weekends of the year.
Kind of sparked Arkansas.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's all led to this, a full circle moment.
Great.
I am taking Arkansas to advance to the SEC Tournament Championship game.
I just don't understand why you hate Oklahoma so
I
much.
hate everyone, clearly. I hate Alabama. I hate Florida. I hate LSU. Don't even talk to me about Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Auburn, who I picked to lose on
Right.
Tuesday.
Because the reason why we do a podcast that focuses a lot on the SEC is because we hate every team in the SEC.
Naturally, of course.
Correct.
Yeah.
And yeah, we underestimate them all.
Who do you have?
I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I think, again, because I think Tennessee's going to kind of go all out to beat Arkansas. Maybe this will be the game where they kind of throw everybody else and maybe have
Let's see
Carlin
what happens.
throw everybody else, see what happens. Maybe have, if it's close, we'll throw Carlin in the last couple innings. If that's the case, I don't think it'll be close, so I think Oklahoma wins.
All right, we both have A&M, but I've got a Lone Star Showdown, Aggies, and Texas Longhorns. You've got A&M, Florida. I am taking the Fighting Texas Aggies to beat Texas. Two seed A&M in the championship game.
Sawing varsity's horns right
Oh,
off.
yeah. Sway.
Yes. Bubbles abound.
Well, I don't know about that. We don't have to keep
Don't
all the traditions
have to do
yet.
everything. I think the Florida run continues.
Ooh, I love it. Okay.
I
What
think,
a championship.
yes. I think we're going to set up the number one seed Oklahoma Sooners and the number six seed Florida Gators in the national championship or in the SEC championship. Might as well be the national championship.
Wow. Maybe it's fitting that we have two very different championship games.
Totally different, and both would be epic.
Oh, yeah. I've got Arkansas A&M. You've got OU Florida. I will take Texas A&M. This is where I think Arkansas kind of runs out of gas. So I'm going to take A&M. That leads to them being the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament on Sunday.
I really hope what hap what I predict doesn't happen.
You're doing it.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and pick the number one seed, Oklahoma, to win.
Man, Tom, you brave
I
boy.
know. And boy, I'm sure the Oklahoma fans will be so magnanimous if they win both the regular season and tournament championship
We
in
don't
their
get a
first
lot
year in the conference.
of doubles in this league.
It's very difficult.
Has not happened a ton over the years. It has happened, but it does not happen often.
But I think, in a way, though, it'd be kind of fitting for it to happen this year when the league is as deep as it's ever been. There's been as many upsets as there's ever been. For the tournament to go kind of chalky.
I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah. That tends to happen. I mean, I know that kind of happens in basketball a lot.
Yeah.
When it's like, well, so much can happen. And then now you look at it and the final four are one, two, three, four. I don't think it's going to be that because, like I said, I think Florida's going to make the run. But the fact that Florida is a sixth seed in this tournament is just crazy to me. But I just think they'll run out of gas a little bit and Oklahoma will finish it off and finish off the double.
Okay. Hand me your sheet, please.
For posterity.
Yes, we will hermetically seal it here.
Ooh, manila envelope.
Manila envelope. You can hear it, ASMR, folding it. And these will be graded throughout the week, right there. Put them in the backpack.
All right.
And now we prepare. Here's the Advil to take because of the headaches caused by idiots and buffoons. Play the drop.
It's time for Off the Wall. We've got to stop. This has got to stop.
Stop complaining when we win.
Also, no.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Why can't people just be happy?
I don't know. Who's your source, Tom?
Yeah, us. We were there.
That's never how it works. That's not how any of this works. What? You want to leave? Just leave.
Freedom of speech. Well, there's also freedom of silence.
Relevance, Your Honor.
What? I don't understand how we have an off-the-wall segment after this past weekend, but I guess we do.
It's not hard not to be a dick.
That's a special kind of stupid.
I mean, do better.
All right, so I'm going to go first.
Oh, okay. Well, good, because I didn't really look at a whole lot.
Cause... Yeah, well, but I'm just saving South Carolina's... I'm saving operation stuff for you.
Okay. Okay.
So, the game was suspended Friday. And a lot of people don't seem to know what that means. A couple posts... You know, at the time, South Carolina was leading 3-0. A couple people posted, does that mean South Carolina won? No.
After two innings, no.
No. We have played two innings. No. The game has to go to 5 innings to decide a result.
Or the losing team has to bat 5 times.
Correct. So when a game is suspended, which has not happened to Alabama very often over the years, it happens kind of all the time everywhere else.
Yeah.
We've kind of gotten lucky over the last decade.
The last time it happened to Alabama was in the 2016 World Series against Oklahoma.
Yeah. And the second, technically sort of-ish, it could have been, was that Tennessee game 3 my first year. The problem was it was being played on a Monday, so there wasn't a chance to.
Oh, that was, talk about debacles.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah.
I was watching it at home. I was like, this is such a fun job.
Oh, it was great. What could go wrong?
We're
talking about how frustrating this year or last year has been. May I take you back to 2017?
Mm. Okay. So the SEC tournament bracket gets posted. And Alabama does not know what time they play because it's ishy 7 Eastern, 6 Central, but really it's 35 minutes after the game before.
Correct.
Which is how all tournaments go, pretty much. We all adhere to the schedule of waiting for the people ahead of us to finish. Somebody replies, surely there is a starting time for game one. If we knew that, we could approximate the time we play Auburn 25 minutes after the conclusion of that game. It's not brain surgery.
True, it's not.
And we do know the time for game one, but you know where all that is? In the bracket, in the story that you should click.
Yes.
Dumbass.
Also, there is a game in between game one.
True.
And Alabama's game. And there's the time to turn the field around. It's not like a travel ball tournament where you're lucky to get the lines redrawn, maybe. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
They're going to make the field as
pristine
as possible. Plus there's television.
We gotta let Halo and Tori Vidalis do their thing in the set.
It's not just 25 minutes.
No. I think it's actually 35.
Right.
Anyway.
Correct.
So, yeah. And then, you know, just all the basic stuff. And after Alabama loses, at this point, it's like, I don't see anything special enough to write down.
Right.
I track your names. I know who you are.
The one thing I did see was a lot of after game one, when Alabama won 13-1, the first comment and several others that, Mike should have saved some of those runs for game 2 and 3.
Mm.
It's not how this works.
It's not.
That's not
happens.
You score what you can.
I saw somebody on Twitter. It's like, oh no, did we run out of hits? I was like, that's not what that is.
There's not. You don't have a certain amount going in the.
No.
It's
otherwise we would allocate them
right.
Much differently.
Yes. But why is that? Why does that have to be the first thing you say?
I don't know. But
just be happy you won the game.
Top 10 win.
You run rolled a top 10 team on the road. Hooray! Roll Tide. End of comment.
And yet some dimes decide to moan. That's all I've got.
Of course they do.
You know why it was kind of a relaxed weekend in the comments? Because I don't think people actually knew when Alabama was playing.
Helpful.
And that leads in a little bit to what you want to talk about. But when Alabama's games ended and started and ended and stopped and then started and then ended again,
right.
We're all at times where people, I think, just kind of were like, whatever. We're going on about our lives.
Sure.
Derby's coming up. We're going to watch that. We're making mint juleps. Mm-hmm. I don't think people actually saw the posts for the most part because they just weren't looking.
Yeah. Worse for me.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But why do the people not know, Tom? Well, please.
Because there was very little communication.
We had no idea what the hell was going on.
No idea. And as we talked about, we were even more appreciative of how well things are run at the University of Alabama.
But, and some other schools.
And some other places, yeah. Of course. But I'll let you shout out some of the people at Alabama that do such a great job. I think need to be recognized after what we saw this past weekend.
Well, let's shout them out through the years.
Yeah.
Lindsey Jones, David Nieder, Kelly Schmidt, Joy Grace Webb, the marketing department, like everybody who kind of makes the ship run, David Birdsong, like everybody who's at any point part of any communication mm-hmm. to the stadium, to the fans, Nathan Sheehan, obviously, to the press box, to anybody, to the coaches, to the NCAA, to the SEC office, to the umpires, all that.
Yeah.
Alabama does a great job. I think Georgia does a really good job. So I'm very excited to see the SEC tournament being run at their place this weekend. I can list a couple places that have really, really kind of shined in that regard when we've been up against those types of issues. But it makes it quite obvious how good you've got it when you go somewhere and it's not quite the same experience. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I mean, at one point, we just went down to the dugout because we were like, well, we're not going to find anything out up here.
Yeah. I mean, we sat, seriously, y'all, Friday night, we sat in the radio booth for 3.5 hours, and the door never opened, except for once when a camera guy came in and said, hey, unofficially, sounds like we're done tonight.
Right.
I was like, so this is the first time we've heard anything for 3.5 hours, and we'd asked.
Oh, yeah.
And we weren't getting much back.
Yeah. We had pulled up Netflix and thing, and we were just chilling.
Yeah.
Not watching softball, but yeah. So it was
not watching our own softball.
Correct.
I had two games up.
Well, yeah, of course.
Don't let the Softball America haters hear that.
Oh, excuse me.
Come on.
Yes. We were watching softball, just not the game we were supposed to be watching.
Yes.
And ultimately there was just no foresight because it's not like we didn't know rain was coming. We all have radars on the phone we all look at, and the forecast was not great for Friday night. And then I mean the storms came in earlier than we thought they were going to on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't blame anybody for that, but when we knew it was possibly going to be bad on Friday, both teams were there. We could have just, and we knew Saturday was iffy, we very easily could have done what some of the others team, what some of the other series did this weekend. You know, Tennessee, Texas A&M, I will point to, because they were doing everything they could to play those games, and worse weather outlooks than we had in South Carolina. We could have easily played a doubleheader Friday and gotten out of there. Started at like 11, played the two games, send everybody home. There was no foresight.
Yeah.
And if it was because, well, we want to make sure we have senior day when we're supposed to, that's just, you know, that's bad if that was the case.
Yeah, that shouldn't be the reason. And no. If it was because of bad information, check multiple information sites. I mean,
yeah.
When we're doing this, and I don't want this to sound like I'm saying we do it perfect when we're in the radio booth checking radar, but we're looking at three different apps at once.
Yeah.
And I don't know, kind of sounds like maybe there was communication with one source. And that's what a decision was based on.
Uh-huh.
If that's wrong, DM me. But
right,
it was just kind of all over the place.
When Patrick Murphy's having to call like the SEC office and because South Carolina won't talk to us, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Just walk across the field.
It's right there.
It wasn't even raining. It rarely rained. Like that and all that.
It rained for maybe... How long are we delayed total? About 6 hours?
Right.
Maybe an hour and 15 minutes total mm-hmm. of those 6 hours was rain. Probably 30 minutes of it was hard rain.
Yeah. It was just, a lot of it was just lightning somewhere around in the 8 mile radius.
Yeah. Stupid.
Which I think is another thing that needs to be looked at. I think we're a little bit erring too much on the side of caution with 8 miles.
We're fine. Let's go six.
Yeah.
Six is all right.
We don't have to go FGCL2.
Seven.
But yeah. But I mean, you know, if it's one strike, that's obviously not going to come anywhere near us, but it's 8 miles away. That shouldn't shut us down for 30 minutes.
I agree. That's all off the wall.
Clean it up.
You know what you clean, Tom? Your plate.
Oh, that is correct.
Play that drop.
It's time for Tom's Hungry.
Yes.
Tom, take it away.
The bar for Tom's Hungry has been set incredibly high. The evening with the Shipmans and all their smoked meats of all types, unbelievable. Would you like a bacon-wrapped scallop? Yes, I would. After all the pictures when I got home, my wife said I'm not allowed to eat a carb for like 3 or 4 days.
As I am pumping insulin, just thinking about as much food as I ate.
Yes, it's softball, blah, 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 food.
Okay, Tom, let's talk about the plates that we ate in a city that exists. Columbia, South Carolina. Take it away, Tom.
It's fine.
It was okay.
It was, you know, but there are some really good food spots. When we got there, went to a place called Stoner's Pizza. We've had better pizza.
Food near me let me down. Although I will say I did Google open food near me.
That's true. We were a little bit late.
Yeah, this was about 9-ish, 9:30. And
speaking of clean it up, come on, Atlanta traffic. What are we doing?
Yeah. Better on the way home.
That there flew through it on the way
home. There was a severe thunderstorm, so that might have helped. But
if we could not drive home in severe weather again, that'd be great.
Athens. The bar is low.
Yeah, right.
Just even partly cloudy is like an A+. Yeah, Stoner's Pizza. This is kind of the first meal this year where I was like, this wasn't that good.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I kind of think, I don't know. It's not good. Move on.
Yeah. But the next day.
Yes. We woke up and said it's time to make a change.
You know what? We got to go to an all-time favorite. Grabbed David Burney. Grab Dilly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Grab Nate. So let's go to Divine Cinnamon Roll Dilly.
Yes.
Did not disappoint.
No.
So good.
Breakfast sandwiches, cinnamon rolls, the coffee. I got the sticky bun coffee.
Ooh.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Pass award winner.
Yes. And the thing about the breakfast sandwiches, because I'm more savory than sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get the breakfast sandwich at the deli, and it's the mustard that they put on it and the garlic spread that makes the big difference.
Yeah.
So good. And it's definitely back in the running to get in the podium. And if they get in the podium, they go up to the rafters.
Yes. You get that second podium appearance.
Yes.
You go to the Tom's Hungry Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And we give you a golden platter. That is your trophy.
There's only one place up there right now, and this place we're going to go this week.
Yes, and I will not say where it is or who it is, bro, because some of y'all just go through the archives. You know,
yeah.
I'm if you sure. know, you know. I'm if sure. you don't know, then
right.
Good luck getting a table. Okay, after that, where we go?
Well, we had a run rule victory over South Carolina, and it actually worked out. We're like, well, there's a Mexican place, like within walking distance of the hotel. Let's go there. Had no preconceived notions about this place.
We picked it because it was close.
Right.
Yes.
And we start walking up to it, and there's lights going on. There music is bumping. And we're like, what is happening?
Bumping.
Yes.
You put that G in there.
And the hard G. And we step in. It's a place called El Vago.
Yes.
Which apparently means the lazy one.
Yes.
What I learned from my Spanish teaching wife.
Oh, very good.
Yes. Told me it means.
I didn't know Jennifer was who you looped in. I thought you Googled it.
No, I Googled lit in Spanish.
Oh Lord!
But she told me it was the look on your face. And El Vago, the food was good, but the atmosphere was just over the top. There was a DJ. The birthday party next to us was having a great time.
That was wild.
Yes,
I have never, like, you know, Kobe, Chuck E. Cheese, all the restaurants that, what a duo that is. All the restaurants that go hard in the paint for birthdays. Never seen anything quite like El Vago. They went off the rails.
Yeah. So great time.
I mean, we're talking sparklers, shooters, everything. They're just full on dance party. The music cranked up.
Yeah.
This was something.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. So if you're ever in Colombia and somebody in your party is having a birthday or it's close enough where you can claim it, go to El Vago.
Yeah.
They'll throw it down for you.
So what'd we eat?
I had chimichangas.
Yes.
And I also had queso dip because it's a Mexican food place.
Of course.
It was good.
Good. Me too. Couple tacos, queso. I didn't really get a chance to like totally peruse the menu because I was GoProing and we were watching the end of Florida, Oklahoma.
Right.
And their menu was a QR code situation. Mm-hmm. So my phone was occupied.
Sure.
So I was just like, you know what? Give me this.
Give me
and also a margarita.
Give me my usual.
Yes.
And I would like a margarita with a light up ice cube inside it.
Of course.
Sure.
I specifically requested that.
Yes. So it was fun. Great, great spot. The next day, we went for a early lunch to a place called that was recommended to us by our good friend Brian Rice,
mm-hmm.
the Palmetto Pig.
This is an interesting spot.
Yes.
Very old fashioned.
I felt like you're either at a like a church potluck or like your grandmother's den.
It was giving bingo hall as well.
It was, yes. And it was serving some really good food.
Oh, mother.
It was good. It was a buffet, you know, barbecue, chicken, some sort of chili hash thing over rice, which was quite good.
What'd they call that? Like,
it was a like
barbecue. Columbia hash, barbecue yeah, hash, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Also, very good homemade baked macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And the manna pudding was very good. Potato salad.
Hush puppies were excellent.
Some of the best hush puppies I've ever had.
Very good.
I was very pleased with those. So thank you for the recommendation. Very good. Palmetto Pig.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add because we all kind of got the same thing because it was a buffet. So it was really good. Good sweet tea.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been playing softball during that time, but whatever.
Sure. But I would suggest turning on a TV, having some sort of music because it was very quiet. For a little while.
In fairness, we did get there 2 minutes after they opened.
Right.
And they seemed surprised.
They were like, oh, people are here already.
They don't know us.
Right.
We're coming to Yosite to eat.
Here we are. And we were like, well, maybe they'll call us to start playing early. They did not. But there we were. The only other place that we went outside of a couple fast food spots was Jack Brown's, which we have here. But it's good there, too.
Yeah. Not eligible for Tom's Hungry podium, but... A mention on the show.
There you go.
Yes.
And, of course, the breakfast hot dogs at the stadium.
Well, naturally.
On Saturday.
As everyone does.
Right.
Whenever faced with bat testing at 7:45 in the morning, you eat hot dogs at the field.
My choices were sleep until 6:45 and not have breakfast, or sleep until 6:30 because I still had to pack and maybe get breakfast. I decided to sleep at 6:45.
I got up at 6:20.
Wow.
And I don't think I've quite recovered.
So overall, again, you have the very high point of Divine Cinnamon Roll Deli, but solid efforts from El Vago and Palmetto Pig.
We just didn't go anywhere, I felt like. Game times weren't helpful. Delays weren't helpful. We were just stuck at the field.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, which sometimes happens.
Yeah. I mean, you compare it like, you know, College Station went to 7 places. I mean,
right.
Tucson, we went to 8 places, you know, and this weekend we really kind of only got to 4 eligible locations. And one of those was because it was at the hotel.
Right.
So tough luck. Whenever we go back to Columbia, we'll do our best to venture out to other places. Stoner's Pizza was a miss, but everything else pretty good.
And so you also came up with something we're going to consider.
Oh, yes. Should we ask the people?
I think we should.
Okay.
Because I'm not 100% sure I'm on board with this.
Oh, interesting. Okay. You want me to say it?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I mentioned that I think if we have locations that have been featured on Tom's Hungry, we should only pick one spot when we go back to that city to return to. Because I'm mainly thinking of Fayetteville. When we do this, there are like 4 places that we really love in Fayetteville.
Right.
But for whatever reason, every time we're in Fayetteville, I feel like whether it's game times or whatever, we don't have many meals. So we just end up going to the same 4 places.
True. Yes.
And my pitch was we pick one each time to go back to, and everything else has to be a new place to further grow the Tom's Hungry glossary, if you will.
Expand the repertoire.
Yes. Now, how we decide that one, maybe I could even make it two if it's like a non-conference tournament or something. Or if we know game times well in advance and we can be like, oh, look, we're going to have all three meals available, ready to go. That can be up for grabs.
Okay.
I pitched that one of them should be listener vote.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
Okay.
We could decide. We could do like a, you know, like a Gray vote, a Tom vote, and the people's vote. And then whatever has majority, that's where we go.
Okay.
Or we could decide the nominees and let the people decide. Well, or we could ask the coaches.
Right.
We say, hey, Courtney Dyfel, is Doomsday or Hammond Trees? Where are we going?
That's what I was about to say. Are you prepared to go to Fayetteville and not go to either Doomsday or Hammond Trees? That is my issue, is that there are some places that are so iconic that...
Okay, well, here's my counter. Ready?
Uh-huh.
We're going to be driving. So, well, on our way out, we just grab and go.
And that doesn't count?
That doesn't count towards the one.
I mean, maybe see that.
Okay. Think about it. Okay. We have time.
Sure.
You know, we just finished our road schedule, so this is for next year.
Right.
Literally a year from now. But something to consider.
So more things to talk about later.
Yeah. Let us know, people of the internet.
What you think?
Listener sphere. What do you ponder?
Yes.
What do you believe? How do you conceive and conspire your decisions about where you're going to eat?
The main thing is we will still hold on to the overall rule of you have to go places that we don't have in Tuscaloosa.
Yes, that remains steadfast.
Like, unless it's a situation where we just have to go grab Taco Bell or something.
Yeah. Jack Brown's was right there. That's why we went there, but...
Right. It was a late night. It was... Not everything was open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all right.
Hey, quick episode. We did it.
Yes.
Quick,
how about that?
Quick-ish. I mean, it's fine, but... So, busy week. SEC tournament starts on Tuesday. We hope it goes a while. I like calling games. I would like to do more.
Sure.
This is that time of the year where you do have to also keep in mind that you are guaranteed three games. That's it, which is crazy. I think Alabama will play significantly more than three games to close out the year, but
that's all you're guaranteed.
That's what's on the line right now. We're at that winning time, and we will be on the air no matter where the journey goes, and we will be together for it outside of maybe Friday. So how do the people listen?
You can listen in Tuscaloosa over the air, 100.1 FM, catfishtuscaloosa.com as well, the Catfish app, the Varsity app, and as we've seen a little bit already this year, but more so when we get into postseason, there are other affiliates throughout the state that will pick up some games too. I know in Huntsville they do, some other places, so be on the lookout from their social media posts, our social media posts. We'll try to let you know as many places as possible, but as always, one of the best spots, just go to the RollTide.com app, hit live audio. You'll be able to get it there, and that Varsity app will have it wherever.
Varsity app, 100%.
Varsity up.
Yes. Very good. Jerry Kelly, hopefully, will be back with us soon.
That'll be fine, yes.
The legend.
And as we talked about before as well, Alabama will be playing the last game of the day as long as they're playing.
Yeah.
So... Screw that. That messes to where we don't know the exact start time. We know we will be on the air at 5:45 Central Time on Tuesday.
No matter what.
No matter what. Unless there is a situation where the two game, like the game in front of us, both have radio and we can't get in there.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Missouri and Ole Miss is in front of us. Neither one of them have radio, so we'll be able to get in and get going. So 5:45, we might have extended pregame, and then we'll roll it from there.
And we'll tweet. What's your account?
T Canterbury RTR.
Beautiful. At @Gray_Robertson. @OutOfTheBox_pod. You know, if you ever have questions, people, about, hey, what's the field look like? Is Alabama going to play? There are things that we can answer that the team account cannot because they have to wait for official stuff. We don't have to do that sometimes. So if you say, hey, what's the outfield look like? I might take a video of it and send it to you.
Right.
So if you ever have questions, just set us up. Just make sure they're not stupid questions. They say there are no stupid questions. I think that's a lie. Yeah. I think it's a stupid statement. So
there are stupid questions. There are some stupid people.
Yeah. There are definitely stupid strike zones.
Oh, my God. Now you got me mad again.
Spun it back.
You throw this pin real quickly.
Anything else?
It's just about going to run.
All right, cool. Let's go eat dinner. Let's go get some
Tom's
redacted.
Hungry. Tom's hungry, so let's do it.
At redacted in Athens, Georgia.
Hmm.
But we have to make sure that we get there at redacted o'clock.
To stand in redacted line for,
of course,
at least an hour.
Yeah, you know, dress a little nicer because redacted has, like, you know, we got to have a collar. We got to have a little class. We got to bring it up, you know, and maybe we'll see the truth and her mom there at redacted.
I have a redacted gift card again.
Still?
No, this is a new one.
A new gift card to redacted?
Yeah, Jennifer got me one. Yeah.
Wow, Jennifer, go Jen.
Yeah.
Here we go. Man, I can't wait to eat some of that redacted, redacted, at redacted. Anyway, that's the episode. For my partner, Tom Canterbury, I'm Gray Robertson. Happy SEC tournament. Happy postseason. It's here. LFG. Let's freaking go. Or something else. We'll see you next time on the Out of the Box Podcast.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.